after a brief recess, unfortunately, last week because of Tisha B'Av. So let's return now to the Siddur. Tonight's discussion regarding Yigdal is going to be different than other things we've discussed in the past, because there certainly is what to explain and be mefarish about Yigdal, but really it's pretty straightforward, as it is a delineation of the 13 principles of faith, Yud Gimel Ikarim. What's more interesting tonight that we're going to discuss is a little bit of history, a little bit of authorship regarding who is the author of Yigdal, and why was it that Yigdal was so controversial, and so many people did not want to say Yigdal, and so many Rabbanim were against the recitation of Yigdal. It is certainly the latest thing that we have added to the Siddur. It's certainly one of the latest pieces in the Siddur, and you know, if a person is in a situation where something needs to be skipped in the morning because they're late, certainly Yigdal is something that might have been one of the first things to skip. Not because it's a beautiful tefillah, it is a beautiful tefillah, but it's simply a later addition to the Siddur, and many people held that it was a controversial piece. So let's explain why. Now, the Pid of Yigdal is based on the 13 Ikari Amuna, as enumerated by the Rambam in his introduction to Perechelek and Masecha Sanhedrin. And the Piyut follows the order of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. In fact, the first word, Yigdal, is a remez to the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Yud Gimel opens up with Gematria 13, hinting to these 13 principles of faith. Now, much of what we're going to say regarding the authorship and the controversy is based on the Siddur HaGaonim VaMekubalim of Rav Moshe Yara Weinstock, who's one of a great author, and also put together a tremendous work on the Siddur and different aspects of the Siddur. And a lot of what we're going to say comes from his Siddur. For many years, it was a real question who was the author of Yigdal, and it could be still a big question who's the author of Yigdal, because there's no clear hint to any name within the poem itself. We know often Jewish authors like to hide their name in an acrostic or somewhere in the poem, and we don't really see anything clear. Now, some felt it was written by Rosh Shlomo Ibn Gabiro. Shlomo Ibn Gabiro is one of the greatest Paitanim poets in the history of the Jewish people. However, this is simply impossible because he lived 150 years before the Rambam, and he wouldn't have known about the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So it's hard for Rosh Shlomo Ibn Gabiro to be the author. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, and the Maharashdam writes in the Ben Shmuel Ala Torah, that since it is based on the Rambam, maybe the Rambam is the author of the poem of Yigdal. It says that the Sefer Amudei Avodah, it says that he saw in the Machzor in Rome, that it says on top, Shir Sidur Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, this song was made by Rav Moshe ben Maimon. Now, there's a number of reasons why it's difficult to say that the author of Yigdal is the Rambam. The first thing is that it's true the Rambam came up with Yud Gimel Ikarim, but just because he came up with the Yud Gimel Ikarim doesn't mean that he's the author of the poem. There are many, many poems about the 13 principles of faith. Does it mean the Rambam is the author of every single one? Certainly not. In addition, one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim seems to be missing from Yigdal. The principle that doesn't appear is that we only pray to Hashem and nobody else. There's no clear statement in Yigdal saying we only daven to Hashem and no other being is malachim, anything like that. Now, many people want to suggest that perhaps there's a typographical error in Yigdal. Where is it? When we say Yore lemalchuso, it should be switched to Yodeh. The reish should be a dalid. Yodeh lemalchuso, meaning we only give thanks, we only give praise to Hashem and nobody else. Okay, so not a question. Finally, it doesn't match other poems that the Rambam wrote. Other Siddurim point out that the Rambam had a certain structure and pattern of how he wrote his poems, and in Yigdal, it doesn't match the Rambam's pattern. Okay, so maybe it's not the Rambam. Rav Yaakov Emden also suggests that it was Rav Echiel ben Baruch. He says that his name appears in the last verse. It says, Meisim Yechaya El Barov Chasto Baruch Adayad. And Yechaya El Barov spells Yechiel, and then it says Baruch Adayad. So it could be that's a hint of his name over there. In the Tikkun Tefillah, In the Otsar Tfilos, it says there's no such person as Rabbi Yechiel ben Baruch. We have no knowledge of any such author, and therefore he rejects Rabbi Yaakov Emden. In the 19th century, Rav Shmuel David Lutzato, better known as Shadal, writes in his Machzor L'Bnei Roma that he claims to have discovered who the real author of Yigdal was. And he had two manuscripts. One is a manuscript written in, found or written in 1383, and another is a Chumash written in Pisa in 1400. They both say that Rav Daniel ben Yehuda HaDayan was the author of Yigdal. That seems to be an explicit reference. Who is Rav Daniel ben Yehuda HaDayan? It's not for right now, but apparently we have a byline to say who it was. The Yotzer HaTfilos in the Tikkun HaTfilos suggests that it was Emmanuel Haromi who was the author. The basis is that Emmanuel Haromi has a poem that's similar to Yigdal that contains the words Yigdal, and it also goes through the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emunah. In addition, you can even find his name in Yigdal. Why? Because we say La'amo El. And that is the name that spells out, could spell out Emmanuel. However, it could be that Emmanuel of Rome just lifted it off from Yigdal and copied it. In addition, Shadal said that it was Daniel ben Yehuda Dayan. So maybe he wrote it separately, and one ordered it, or they were involved in separate times, one edited it, whatever it may be. So these are the different options that were offered up. These four or five people, again, we don't know who the author of Yigdal was, but there seems to be a reference, according to Shadal, from Rav Daniel HaDayan. Now, what is so controversial about Yigdal? Why would somebody think that we shouldn't say Yigdal? So the first is from the Arizal. In the Shara Kavanos and the Pri Eitz Chaim, the Chaim Vital cites the Arizal, who is against the recitation of this poem, or any song, like those of Shlomo Ibn Gabirol, where the author did not know Kabbalah. They did not know what they were saying, and they were mistaken in what they wrote. And the prime poem that the Arizal said should not be recited because the author did not know Kabbalah was Yigdal. He also wouldn't say the vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim on Yom Kippur, which we say every single year. He also wouldn't say, recite the works of Rav Shem Tov Ivan Adardol, Rav Yitzhak ben Yisrael, other famous paitanim. However, he would recite the piyutim and the songs written by Chazal, those written by Rabbi Akiva, like Avinu Malkeinu, those written by Rav Elazar ben Arach, Rav Nechunah ben Akana, his tfilos, and he would also say the piyutim of Rav Eliezer HaKalir. We should be familiar with Rav Eliezer HaKalir, because if we all said kinos this past Tisha B'Av, so we should be familiar that most of the kinos, certainly in the beginning, are written by Rav Eliezer HaKalir, the most prominent of Jewish poets. And these are all part of the Ashkenazi canon, and he was a fan of Ashkenazi piyutim. That's why on Rosh Yom Kippur, the Arizal would daven in the Ashkenazi shul in Tzfas, because he liked their piyutim better. Now, all of these Rabbanim style these later Rabbanim we've spoken about, Chazal, Rav Ezra Kalir, were all based on Chachmas Emes, all based on Kabbalah, and they knew what they were doing. And this is repeated in the Mishnas Chasidim, and it's also cited by the Magen Avraham and Simon Samaches, and the Berhetev, and the Mishnah Berurah. And the Chida and his Birkei Yosef in Samaches and Kafir Beis elaborates on this as well, and he says that when those piyutim that are not recited al-pi Kabbalah, a person should not recite them and surely simply be quiet and think in Divrei Torah. Now, in the Yalka Yosef, Rav Yosef's son, he questions this premise of the Arizal. Why does it matter if something is established al-pi Sod and Kabbalah? Who cares? What's the difference? There's no isser in reciting praise to Hashem that's not based on Kabbalah. He suggests that the Arizal is advocating this position for those Hasidim HaMekubalim who normally practice Derech HaSod. Those people who think about Kabbalah and do Kabbalistic things all the time, they shouldn't only say those things. They're always aligning their actions with Kabbalah and Kavanos and Yichudim and all types of complicated things, and therefore better for them to only say those types of poems. We know the entire world recites Piyutim of Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabirol, Rav Yehuda HaLevi. We even put the vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon in our Chazaras HaShatz. We recite it on Yom Kippur. We don't paskin like the Arizal. And all of Klal Yisrael sings the poems and songs of the Rishonim that are not based on Soda and Kabbalah. In fact, the Shla HaKadosh held that the piyut of Yigdal was very important. And the Shla was very familiar with the writings of the Arizal. So he clearly did not have a problem with this, and he did not hold to this opinion of the Arizal. Now, when it comes to something that is not Isser v'heter, Mutter and Usser, we can establish something as being proper if it's come from, if it has become accepted across the entire spectrum of Klal Yisrael. The Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in the Pri Tzadok in Parshas Shkalim that since piyutim were accepted across all of Klal Yisrael, it's proper to learn their words even if the authors didn't have deeper intentions on their, in their own mind. Pshatim and explanations given by other people to piyutim are considered MS. If you have a pshat in a zemer, a poem, that's MS, that's correct. This is similar to the words of the Tumim, that based on the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch was accepted by Klal Yisrael, we can also give pshatim, our own explanations to the Shulchan Aruch, even if they weren't the intentions of Yosef Karo, because Ruach Hashem diber bam. Once it's become accepted by Klal Yisrael, it becomes ours, and it becomes part of our canon. The Tshuva Siach Yitzchak cites the Yismach Moshe, Parshas Zos HaBrach, who says that we have a Kabbalah, that the Zmiros that spread throughout the Jewish people were said Beruach HaKodesh. Shabbos Miros, Piyutim and Shul are all said Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, so again, reason number one not to say Yigdal according to the Rizal is because it's not based in Kabbalah. Reason number two, in the Igeres LeBeis Tfila and the Vayatzar Yitzchak, they have issue with the grammar of Yigdal. Yigdal, like many other Hebrew poems, have a lot of incorrect grammar to make sure that the scale is correct. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Hanau also makes the same point. So another reason it has bad grammar. Is that a reason not to say it? Not sure, but that's another reason why people complain against it. Reason number three not to say Yigdal is from Rav Yaakov Emden, who says that Yigdal is a problem because it seems to be saying or highlighting that these are the only 13 things a Jew needs to know or to do. There are other things that are important. Shabbos isn't in Yigdal. If you recite and you make a poem out of it, you're going to think that only these things are important for a person's Judaism, but the other mitzvahs are not. The Tzelusah D'Avram says the same thing, and he cites the Tshuvas HaRabbaz, who objected focusing on only the 13 Ikari Amunah, when in fact all of the Torah is Min HaShemayim, and all of the Torah is important. And therefore, Rav Yaakov Emden was against Yigdal because it may lead somebody to think that only these 13 things are important, nothing else is important. Rabbi Soloveitchik was also not a fan of Yigdal. Rav Shechter brings in Nefesh HaRav that Rabbi Soloveitchik disagreed with reciting Yigdal because he felt that it was a form of chukas hagayim. It was a non-Jewish practice. Why? Because in Catholicism, they have a practice of reciting their principles of faith. In Catholicism, part of their prayer is reciting their belief system. And therefore, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the Catholics recite their faith as a form of prayer. We should not recite Yigdal in our form of prayer as well. We don't recite our principles of faith in our tefillah. We have a system. Shevach, bakasha, vahodah. Praise, requesting, and thanking Hashem. But we don't simply recite our principles of faith as a form of tefillah. Now, I highly, highly recommend to read Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's introduction to his commentary and translation on the Siddur. Rabbi Sachs does not even mention Rabbi Soloveitchik at all, but he disagrees. He actually thinks that it is a pillar of our tefillah that we do recite our principles of faith. We talk about Tchiyas HaMesim and Amunah in our davening, and he has a whole beautiful introduction arguing that we do. I don't know what Rabbi Sachs thinks of Rabbi Soloveitchik's position. I never asked him. But again, this is opinion number three or four, why not to recite Yigdal. The last suggestion is from Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen, the Rav of Gvul Yavitz in Brooklyn. So he writes in his Masas Kapai in Volume 1. The Masas Kapai are his beautiful Sfarim on the Siddur. And he suggests that if we say that Emmanuel HaRomi, Emmanuel of Rome, was the author of Yigdal, it would be somewhat understandable why someone may take issue with Yigdal. Because Emmanuel HaRomi wrote many or a few inappropriate poems, a number of, one might say, lewd or, you know, romantic poems. And this was offensive, so offensive, that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Shabbos and Simen Shin Zayin that it's usher to read his books, and you shouldn't read his books on Shabbos or even during the week. And therefore, if Emmanuel HaRomi is the author, perhaps we shouldn't read it because he wrote inappropriate things. So these are a number of reasons why Yigdal was problematic. In the Sefer Shulchan HaTahar, the Rebbe of Kamarna records that in the community of Padatse, Padatse is a city in Ukraine, and the rabbi there in the 1600s was Binyamin Salanik, who was a Talmud of the Rama and the Maharshal. And in his time, he did not allow them to recite Yigdal. And after he died, the next rabbi started telling the community to say Yigdal. And soon after, the wall of the shul fell, and the shul needed to be rebuilt. So they stopped saying Yigdal, because they thought it was going against the psak of the former Rav. And the Kamarna Rebbe concludes, "Uledati zechisaron be'amuna amashalo silku Yigdal min asider." They were punished because they did not remove Yigdal from their sitter. Okay, is that all these reasons that you shouldn't say Yigdal? No. If you say Yigdal, good. If you don't, then, you know, don't start saying it. Now, I think we are all aware there is a specific time where we do say Yigdal. Where is that? Where do we generally say Yigdal? Nobody knows? Where do we generally say Yigdal?
We say it after davening on Shabbos.
Very good. Either Friday night in some shuls, the end of Shacharis. I think in most shuls they say it Friday night. So why is it specifically for that time? The minhag of reciting Yigdal on Friday night at the end of davening is a very old minhag. The general idea is that it is Shevach to Hashem for, again, being mechazik, our principles of faith. Already in 1486, we find Siddurim with Yigdal at the end of Friday night davening, and from then on, in just about every subsequent edition of the Siddur, Yigdal appears at the end of Friday night davening. And this is the case in the Siddurim from Krakow in 1578. Earlier, the Machzor Kefi Minhag Kiel Kadosha Roma, the Machzor of Bologna, was printed in 1541, has it. This is the case irrespective of the Nusach. Ashkenaz, Sfard, Sfardim, all these Siddurim then show that, at least from the late 15th century on, the almost universal custom was to say Yigdal Friday night, despite all the objection of these later Rabbanim. Now, the Chemdas Yamim writes in Chelek Aleph in the Siman on Shabbos, he says that Shabbos is keneged all of the mitzvos. That's how holy Shabbos is. And after we give Eidus in Vayechulu, after we testify, Vayechulu Hashemayim Arts V'chol Tzvam, and we testify that Hashem created the world, we then recite the piyut of Yigdal to emphasize our amuna in Briyas Olam, that Hashem created the world, and the Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore it fits together with the Vayechulu, and once you have Kavanah for this one singing, it says the Chemdas Yamim. And that's why it's recited Friday night, to connect it to Vayechulu. The Imre Pinchas says that Rav Pinchas of Karetz would only recite Yigdal on Shabbos, not during the week, which I think is the general minhag of most people. So that is the general story, history, authorship, controversies regarding Yigdal. Now, again, like I said, there's not so much to add to the commentary of Yigdal because it's simply, you know, enumerating the 13 principles of faith. Let me just make a few comments to highlight some particular lines. Let's begin with the first line, Yigdal Elokim Chai V'Yishtabach Nimsa V'Ein Esel El Mitzuyoso. In the Siddur printed in Krakow in 1597, there's the commentary from Rav Tzvi ben Chanuch Zundel. So in that Siddur, he praises the piyut, this poem that we've been discussing, as being very important and based on Amuna that we should implant in our hearts. And he explains that Yigdal refers to the first five Yesodos that refer to Amunah in Hashem, and Yishtabach refers to the later Yesodos that make up our religion. So Yigdal Elokim Chai, those are praises about Hashem, V'Yishtabach, and we're praising also the principles of practicing Judaism. Okay. Another line is, Ein lo demus haguf ve'ein oguf lo narach elav kedushas. Now that line, Ein lo demus haguf ve'ein oguf, has a lot of people scratching their head. We just said that there's no demus haguf, Hashem has no body. So it certainly means what? If there's no image of a body, then certainly there is no guf, there's no body itself. So what does that mean? It's repetitive and without reason. In lo demus haguf ve'ein oguf, there's no image of a body, and there's no body itself. Obviously. So says the Yismach Moshe in Parsis Kiseitze, he says that there's no image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no demus to an eino guf. Who's an eino guf? What being has no body? A malach. So what he says is, ein lo demus haguf, there's no demus, there's no image for the body of Hashem, nor ve'eino guf. Nor is therefore, quote,
in Eino Guf, meaning the being that is out of body, a malach. And that's how he divides up the sentence. We then say, Lo yachlif hakel velo yamir daso le'olamim zu daso. Now, interestingly, even though the Baal HaTanya, the first Rebbe of Chabad, doesn't include Yigdal and Hasidur, in the Tanya, in Parachaf Hei, he cites Yigdal. So he might not say that you should daven with it, but he does admit that it is a source. And he explains that since the revelation of Ratzon Hashem through the Torah is beyond time, and it's above everything else, so too, so too, just like Hashem is out of time, so too his Torah is everlasting as well. Okay. Then we say, Gomelish Chesed Kimifalo, no sein la rasha ra kirishaso. Comes Rav Lev Yitzchak Berdichev in his Likutim, and he says as follows. What's the difference between Mifalo and Rishaso? Gomelish Chesed Kimifalo, he'll pay man according to his righteousness in his mifalo, his actions. No sin rasha ra kirishaso. He'll repay the evil according to his evil actions. Why do we divide it? Why don't we just say his good deeds, his not good deeds, just his deeds? What are we talking about over here? So says Rav Lev Yitzchak, when a person does a mitzvah, then Hashem repays him for the action he did and all of the fallout from that mitzvah. This mitzvah and all of the good that came from it will weigh the scale towards zechuyos. Therefore, he says, if you give tzedakah to a person, but it benefits not just that person, and now that the person has tzedakah, he's able to help his family, and now that he can help his family, his son can go to school, and now that his son's going to go to school, he's going to learn Torah, and all these other things that come away from that one act of charity, you merit the zechuyos of all of the circles and all of the rings and all of the waves that come forth from that one act, that one mitzvah. And therefore, gomel ish chesed kimif alo. Whatever action comes forth, whatever goodness comes forth, whatever chesed comes forth, you get the schar for, even if that wasn't your intention. However, when a person does an aveira, a person sins, then Hashem only repays the aveira, and not any fallout from that single Maisa Aveira. If you speak Lashon Hara, and that hurts somebody, and there are other things that happen because of that Aveira. Let's say you speak Lashon Hara about somebody, and they don't get a job. So that was terrible. But now because they don't get a job, they go and they steal. So that's not your fault. You don't get punished for that thing, that secondary action. And therefore Hashem repays only according to kirishaso, according to that act of rishus, according to that act of evil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays mifalo, all that happened from the single mitzvah, but he only repays rishaso for that single isolated act of rishus, which I think is a beautiful idea. In the Tfilas HaChadosh, which records the minig of Livorno, it records they didn't say yigdal in a base avel, because they didn't want the avel to be upset to sing about this type of schar v'onesh. It was not the Minigan Livorno. Now, the last line is famous because we repeat it twice. Meisim Yechaya Kelber Rav Chasto, Baruch Adayad Shem Tilaso. The popular Minig is to sing the last line twice. So you'll tell me, well, I know why we sing it twice, because the tune has an A-B pattern. And therefore, if I don't sing the last line twice, I'm going to end on a low note. I'm not going to end on a high note, right? We all know, I'm not going to sing the song, but we all know the tune. So if you sing the tune in your head, and you sing the last line, there's an odd amount of lines, so you need to sing it another time so it's even. No. In the Chaim Lerush, Rav Chaim Palagi writes, that we repeat the idea of Tchiyas HaMesim, because there are two types of Tchiyas HaMesim. He cites Rav Moshe Chagiz in his Halachos Ketanos in Chelek Aleph, who says that there's a natural resurrection of the dead and a supernatural resurrection of the dead. A person who's buried will merit Tchiyas HaMesim, that is natural. And a person who never married proper kvura, Rachman Litzlan, someone who was lost at sea and was never buried, someone who terribly, you know, was killed in a concentration camp and burnt in Auschwitz. So there's no kvura. What's going to be Tchiyas HaMesim? So there will be a second Tchiyas HaMesim of a Maisa Nisim, and a bigger miracle where there won't even be a body that was buried, and still the body will come back. And therefore we sing Mechai Meisim twice, one for the natural Tchias Meisim, and one for those who never received Kvuras Yisrael. Rav David Cohen writes in his Masas Kapai that it refers to Tchias Meisim Tzadikim, Tchias Meisim Klal Yisrael, whatever it may be. Now Rav Moshe Yara Weinstock writes in his Siddur Gaon Vamekubalim, he cites the minhag of Galanta Hungary, where the Gabayim would travel from house to house in Zayin Adar on the day the Chevra Kadisha would collect money, and they would sing Yigdal, repeating the last line, because they wanted people to, you know, that's their business. We bury you, so you're going to have Tchias Meisim. And then they would collect eggs going from house to house that they would eat at their Suda of Zayin Adar. So many fascinating minhagim, customs, historical discussions, controversies related to Yigdal. Hopefully you get a better understanding of what we're doing, appreciation for the Yigdal Ikrim, and a greater appreciation for this incredibly beautiful poem.